Today, we have another special guest. I've invited Andrea Mayorga, a fellow collaborator who has developed this amazing platform called Beyonder. Andrea will join us from Colombia, and we have worked together in regards to volunteer tourism initiatives. So today, I decided to invite her and interview her on her experience being a volunteer tourist at La Guajira. La Guajira is a region of Colombia, and she will share with us her experience being a tourist in her own country, which is very valuable. So anyway, we are going to get started. Welcome, Andrea. How are you?
I'm fine, Anna. Thank you for inviting me to be part of this.
No, thank you for having us in this. Well, it's quite early for us here in Australia, but for you, I guess it's quite a good time. So I'm happy that you can make some space for us.
Ah, it's my pleasure. It doesn't matter where we are placed. The important is bringing some insights about our experience. So for me, it's very good to be here too.
That's great. Thank you so much. So I was telling you guys earlier, Andrea went to an experience in Colombia. That's where she's from. So I wanted her to share a little bit of about her experience. So can you tell us a little bit about the Guajira Project? What is it?
Well, sure. So the Guajira Project is an NGO that was created about 2 years ago for a friend of mine. And where they do is bring people like me, like people who is interested to do something different about tourism, about helping others. So they prepare like a plan. It's about 5 days, then you can get to know the beautiful Wayuu culture. Wayuu culture is part of our Colombian indigenous communities. So you go there and you can offer like unique experience where I was immersed in the social world with the culture and knowledge of the region. And also I was part of delivery team of school kids and market to the communities in need. And also I know the most beautiful places around the area. So it was like at the beautiful beaches, like Cabo de la Vela, Punta Gallinas, and beautiful landscaping. And yeah, so it was kind of mixing of helping others through volunteerism, but also kind of tourism in a remote area that people from my country, we don't know them that exist. So that was kind of what is Guajira. Proyecto Guajira, on Guajira Project in English.
Okay, perfect. So, what you told me is the project includes like a sort of a tour when you see and do and then engage with a community. So
yeah, exactly.
For example, to what extent were you a volunteer in this project?
Well, I didn't know about the Guajira culture at all, like the Wayuu culture, and I was in Australia like looking for do something meaningful and also like try to keep in contact with them. So I found that project. I say, well, I want to go there because even though it's part of my country, I haven't been there. And why not go there as a volunteer and at the same time visit that beautiful places? So that is why I stand to go there and travel with a Guajira Project.
Oh, that's a very good. What I really like is that you actually volunteer in your home country. I think that's super valuable.
Yes, actually, I just realized that kind of tourism or that kind of experience in Australia when I was living there. I knew many people who go to Cambodia, Vietnam, Asian countries, but I say to myself, why not go to my own country and see what is going on there? So that is why moved my heart. And at the same time, I was working in that community with that people and say like, hey, let's go with the people who are sharing similar feelings and they are like-minded to go there, pay for that, helping others who needs, and also going to see how it works that culture. So it was quite good for me, actually.
Mm-hmm. So for example, how did the organization measure the impact of the volunteers in the community?
Oh my God, that is a very, very good question. Well, I'm very willing to know more about that measurement of the impact of any activities. And I was really looking for that there. And I didn't see any like like a process and like a activities just wasn't the end of the program. That mm-hmm. we finished to do all the activities that we did, and we did like a kind of conversation, like you just put in your insights, where it was good, where it was bad, how you feel now, how you feel after. So it wasn't like a measurement of the impact. Mm-hmm. I think this is a weakness, like maybe that problem should be including in their process.
Okay, so do you think you and the other volunteers perceived, like, or could measure the impact that you guys did in the community, or was it through that reflection that they gave
you? I think it was more from my side, because I'm very, mm-hmm. I love that topic, but I feel that the volunteers didn't realize the importance of measure the impact. So, yeah, I think it was more on my side rather than the other volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What kind of activities do you do in the ranch? Social activities.
Yeah, so we went to different rancherias, that is like a small community mm-hmm. around the La Guajira. Well, first of all, it's good that you guys know that the rancherias and the Guajira indigenous, they are semi-nomadic. That mm-hmm. means that they're moving around looking for resources to survive. So we were looking for that community. So we went first to the community center. Mm-hmm. And in that community center, we bring some kind of food, kind of like a grains, like a water. And also we play with kids. And this was one of the activities. So we realized that the water, it wasn't a good quality. So that was very shocking for us, because they were drinking like a very disgusting and dirty water. But at the same time, it was so beautiful to see how they were happy, even though they didn't have like a proper quality of life. And that was one of the activities, like playing with them, like talk with them, giving some food, prepare some like drawings, you know, like more with the kids. Mm-hmm. The second day we did like kind of helping, because was a couple doctors that did some help brigades. So we helped them to look after the kids, play with them. So in my specific case, I was like the helper of the doctor. Mm-hmm. So I was giving the right medicine depends of each case. So I was actually learning a lot about what are the that medicine that we have to have when we have some issues like a fever, malnutrition, like stomachache, all those things. So okay. That was basically the activities that we did. Like, was mixing in different communities. So was more assisting them.
Yeah.
Rather than build things with them and things like that is usually done you do when you go to other like a volunteerism programs.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I have to ask this, because you're saying you engage a lot with kids and with medicines. Is the project involved in sort of a government aiding program?
No, it's not actually. That was one of the things why I go there, because they are just private. They are young people that gather together and create that amazing organization. So it's not at all. So it's a volunteers who come there to pay, and they just raise money to buy the elements that they need for running this activity. So,
but then then how do they, like, is it okay to deliver medicine and everything like that in Colombia? Like, is it legal? And
well, that is a good question actually. Just think about it. It should be legal if it's a proper doctors and they have like a title and they are graduated. Because
okay.
they are professionals, and all of them were professionals. So
okay.
I would say that is any matter. And also, they were supporting for this Catholic Church, like community.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the thing that I saw there. Like, this organization is very close to the like this community, the religions community.
Mm-hmm.
So they also support together. That was one of the things that I see.
Did they have any religious activities with the community, or just these ones?
Well,
that you see?
Well, it wasn't with the community.
Okay.
It was a place, it's called like El Pilón de Azúcar. It's like a sugar mountain in Spanish. And they said to us, like, hey, guys, we are going to the top of the mountain because it's kind of Maria Virgin and that thing. And they say, if you guys are willing to come there and pray and blah, blah, blah. Well, some of us, we are not like follow the Catholic traditions. We didn't go, but others, they went. Mm-hmm. So the leaders of this organization, they are very strong religions.
Yeah.
But even though it wasn't like pushing you to do that, no, it was mm-hmm. more for you if you are willing to go. But in terms of religions from the community, well, they are indigenous, so they have different beliefs.
Okay.
So they even share with us how important is the land for them, how the water is like the god for them, because they don't have water. So for them, when it's raining, it's like the best moment of their life, because
yeah.
they have life. For them, it's the life is coming because they are thirsty and they really like the water. Well, this was quite shocking for me and moved my heart too much, I will say.
That's amazing. So it's great. Like the religious organization wasn't trying to push the community towards.
Nah.
Oh, that's
nah,
great.
Nah.
That's really good.
No, yes. It happened that it wasn't like very bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. How was the engagement with the locals?
From my point of view, I've been working with the locals because of my project that I have on site. Yes?
Yeah.
So I knew how is the language, how you have to approach them, how is the communication between women and men. So for me, it was quite simple and very easy because I've been training myself to be in their food and not in my position. So for me, it was very easier. But for others, it was quite hard because these different contexts, people who has everything, who will sleep even in a bed, and we have to sleep in we call amacas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how I say it in English. Anyway, it's like a kind of factory that you just handle.
Hammock.
It's that one. That one.
I doubt it a little bit there.
Yeah. But I love it. So, but some of the volunteers, they were like complaining because of the pain of the back and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I was going to say that, yes, so for some people it was very hard to get to know more the community. For others it was easier because I'm very empathic and I really like to know more about them. But it was the pain of each person, how they felt. But in my case, it was very easy, even though it was sometimes where I realized the male chauvinists that exist in this community.
Uh-huh.
And also I see many bad things about the guys and the men who is very drinker and the woman is the leader, you know
yeah.
what I mean? So was like seeing the kids and the moms just carry on a big and heavy buckets of water meanwhile they were drinking and having fun. So for me it was quite shocking. But anyway, this is part of their culture and we had to respect.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course. So they were actually welcoming you, like, as the volunteers to their community, or was there, like, a wall between
okay.
the indigenous community and you guys?
They were welcome because the communities that we went, they already know the leaders of the NGO.
Yeah.
So it means that it wasn't like, hey, guys, we came here. No, they knew that. They were ready to. They have been in a process to keep in contact with them. So
mm-hmm.
it wasn't like rejected from them our visit and our presence there. So yeah, it was very, very, very easy going. Well, in one point, I was with some water filters because
mm-hmm.
that was my second activity with this. This tour was try to prototype a water solution for them.
Mm-hmm.
So in this stage, when I was approaching the people, the leaders, I realized that I could not talk with the men because it's not like a law because of
mm-hmm.
the culture.
Uh-huh.
I had to talk with the women, the leaders. So I said, oh my God, sorry, I didn't know about it. So for me, it was a little bit, oh my God, I should ask first rather than go and by myself. But then I realized, and then it was quite easy for me. And we prototyped that solution. It was awesome because that take a lot of attention from the volunteers because they say, oh my God, this is a good solution. Why not, you guys, Wahira project, you include this kind of activities that make more like impact in that communities rather than giving some toys. And yeah, you know, so I start to create a discussion between the activities that we were doing. So it was good. And now actually the NGO is very willing to include that activity as a part of the activities for this year. So it's good because we got a both learning process from the volunteer, from the organization, and also from the community.
Okay, that's great. So for the community, do you think there was, or did you felt at any time that they were showing you what they wanted to show you? Or do you felt the experience and the engagement with them was like truly authentic?
I feel like, yeah, well, it was like in some part of the activities when we were giving the toys, I was feeling like, hey, let's make a video. Like, you know what I mean? Like, try to get evidence, of course, usually what the organization does, but was more like probably that solution made me stressful because I saw that the kids, even they didn't like the toys because it's not part of the culture. That was like, oh my God, no, you might do something different. But at the same time, I saw and I felt sometimes like the kids, they were very happy, the community too, like engaged with us, and we have a very good time, was very authentic. Yeah, so I have to say and highlight that this organization is one of I just found like three organizations and two organizations who does this kind of activity. So this market in Colombia is very new. Yeah. So we'll see like they have done a very good things, even though in a short period of time. And yeah, so it's gathering more people who is interested to travel with purpose and doing something good rather than just go to the like popular spots in my country. So yeah, they are just trying to improve their model and improve their process. And it's one of the activities that I'm trying to help them as a part of advisors of their activities. Yeah.
So, and you mentioned toys. What do you mean you were like, giving out toys?
Yeah, like kind of toys, like a kind of gift. They found some a company in the States. I cannot remember. This is a big one, a company that they donate some toys, some dolls and things like that, like Barbies, like cars and things. And yeah, but they were so... so, you know what I mean? It's like being in a context that is a desert, and they are, even don't have shoes.
So yeah,
and they got a toy for Star Wars or for like Toy Story. I was like, well,
yeah. Was the community happy about that? Like, it doesn't really make a lot of sense for me, but I don't know. I mean, I don't want to.
It was something different, like, you know, like they haven't got that before, so they were looking at and was a lot of sounds, but the sound was in English, so even they could not understand what the toy on the doll say. But yeah, I feel like they were happy. I mean, it's just giving something that they don't have, but in my point of view, I see like the moms and dads, they were trying to just keep in the things to then selling. That was like what I felt as a part of, you know, like a market. Like try to take all those like things to sell them in the black market. And we're like, no, let's open the toys, let's open the boxes, you know what I mean? Like, even though it's for the kids, it's not for a business. So this was something that also put me like a little bit mad, but yeah, it is what it is. And I think they realized that probably they might need to include different activities next time.
That might be a good idea. So, Andrea, What's your perception on assistentialism?
Well, this is...
Because, for example, do you think tourism is the best form of assistentialism that the community needs, or...?
Well, I will say, like, yeah, well, in this case, in this specific case, it's people who is dying. Like, they don't have food, they don't have water. Yeah, well, it's good that the organizations and tourism go there and giving that needs, right? Yeah. But I will say that probably is much better if the tourism will be used to do long-term solutions
with
the community. So I will say, like, it's a need that they have. They need food and water, but why not build something together for a long term that probably is not giving the fish, is teach them how they can fish. So this is like how I'm thinking, and I felt and I know that this organization is gonna build a community center and make an entrepreneurship program. So this is for this year. So I feel that they go for this way, but they start with small activities to include the other ones for a medium and long term. So...
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you think volunteerism, this program that you went to, is the best way to help communities, or do you think in the long term will eventually hurt them?
Oh my God. Well, I feel like it's one of the ways to help the communities. If they can, first of all, listen to the community and see what is the best solution to help them.
Yeah.
What I mean is, like, in my case, when I was prototyping the water filter, I see how the community really got the idea that they need that kind of solutions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they were like, thank you for that filter. We are going to have water from the highways. So what is highways? It's kind of dam. Then they dug in the land, the ground, and they're waiting until the rainy season comes and fulfill the hole, if we can say. So they drink that water, and it's very dirty. So they have that need. That is like a really a priority. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I will say that probably if this kind of programs going to the priority needs and looking for solutions through tourism, then they will make more impact rather than giving a toys and scholar kids, because it's many NGOs that they are trying to do that, or even the public sector too, but not going to the root.
Exactly.
And looking for a solution that can just finalize this emergency, because it's humanitarian crisis there.
But this project of the water filters, that was something that you implemented, right? It's not something that the organization was...
No, this is one of the projects that I'm working now with that community. Yeah, but we try to like educate the organizations to use different solutions that are not like harmful for the community. It's more looking for something that they really need and they will value that, and then that can be like a part of the first step to change the reality that they are living day by day.
Yeah, that's really good, Andrea. I mean, I'm going to ask you after in a little bit about Beyond There, but yes, that's really good.
Oh, it's fine.
So, for example, to what extent did the community has like any sort of agency in the project? Are they somehow involved in the decision-making process of the project, or how it's developing?
Well, as I said before, I'm like kind of advisor for them. Uh-huh. And I know that project has a difference, like, let's say, departments. So it's like kind of 10 people who are exploring different topics. So they are very organized, but they are... I haven't heard about if they have some support or agency that help them to improve their development as an organization. So,
but for example, did the community was part of the of how the project was developing?
I got it. At that point, I'm not sure, but I know they are very close to the leaders of the communities.
Okay.
So, because if you want to get in there, you have to be allowed by the leader. the patron is called. So yeah, they might be close to them, and actually I'm close with them too because of the filters, the water filters project, and they always ask me about the project of Guajira and things like that. So I will say yes, they might be involved with them. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how far they are with them.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's for logistics or for make decisions. That is why we are behind there, helping to say like if you want to develop and improve your project, you might first ask the community and then get some activities to develop.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So just to change a little bit the topic, where did the other volunteers came from? Were they Colombian or were they foreigners?
Yeah, they were Colombian. Yeah, they haven't done this program for people for overseas.
Okay.
This is one of the things that we try to do with them. Yeah, they were from Colombia, but for different areas from Colombia. So it was very cool for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm from capital city for Bogota, and I met people from the south, the north, the east, the west, and so great actually. People who are very sweetheart and like-minded. And
yeah,
I haven't met people like that before in my country in this context. I feel like this organization is creating a very good community of people who wants to use their skills to help communities.
That's really good. So for now that the project has, because you did this project in December, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in December, yeah, sure.
And now that a few months have passed, what's your like overall reflection of it?
Well, that experience was one of my breakpoints in my life, if I can say. Why? Because I realized that I need to really focus on helping my country.
Okay.
That is why from that I took the decision to come back to Colombia.
Yeah.
After living in Australia for about 3 years and a half. So after this experience, I just realized that I have a little lucky to have every day water on my glass, a glass of water, and I have a bed, I have a family, I have even everything. Like, they don't have more, like, many things. They don't have anything there, and even though they're happy. So that was, for me, something that I got from that experience, and see people who is dying, and they were just smiling, playing, having hope to grow and to educate themselves. You know, that entrepreneurial soul that I was like, oh my God. And I'm complaining every day because stupid things happen in my life. So
yes.
For me, it was like a very, very good outcome from that experience. And also I met a good people that I keep in contact with them. And now I'm working in that community too. So it's like better part of my life nowadays.
Wow, so it was very meaningful for you.
Yeah, it was. It was very meaningful, and I will say that is one of my best experiences in my life.
All right. Oh, you hear that, guys? If you have any questions about going to Colombia to volunteer, and there's your best contact. Did the project change your views about volunteer tourism, or what do you think now?
Well, it was my first experience in this kind of volunteerism tourism.
Yeah.
But I will say that how they are very new in this market,
mm-hmm.
I got many ideas that they will improve their program. But even though they are a new one, they are doing very well because they've been just 2 years on the market and they have done like 6-7 excursions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming up one of the 12th to the 16th of July on this year. So I would say that, yeah, it's good what they have done. And yeah, like I feel like probably they are the leaders of this kind of tourism in my country.
Yeah.
So it's a very good example that this kind of programs will be focused to make something good and to develop a good activities around the communities and not just for business. So.
Yeah. All right. So we were saying a little bit earlier about you now staying, working with the community and helping them in developed the program. So I was wondering if you can tell us a little bit about Beyonder.
Well, yeah, sure. Being in Australia, I found my passions. I found that the world is so big, mm-hmm. and we have many solutions around the world and many problems. And why not connect that solutions and problems to make something sustainable? So from that point, I created, I'm the founder of an organization, it's called Beyonder. That organization is a collaborating consultancy where we provide connections, we advise ideas, projects to other organizations to create better practices in developing solutions and also make a sustainable communities. So what we are doing now is prototype our services and create evidence that is possible to make change through collaboration.
Yeah.
So one of that prototypes or pilots project was in this area that I traveled with a Guajira project in La Guajira. So what we creating was kind of partners, activities, and we are modeling collaborations activities between them using different entities, using different kind of parties. I mean, in terms of private, public, entrepreneur, volunteerism, and bring all those together to make a much better practices and create a win-win situation. So this is what we are doing now, and that enterprise was created in Australia. And what we are doing is using the knowledge and using the ideas and projects in Australia to connect with Colombia, at the same time Colombia to Australia. So with the Guajira, we found a solution in Australia of the water filters, and that is why I brought that filters into the community, and I prototyped them, and I found that that solution was one of the best ones for now and short term. And that was awesome because it wasn't just from the filters, it's also Gander organizations in Australia as a Rotary Clubs, as an NGOs, Blue Star as well, different kind of organizations that are willing to help this community. So we try to be the Tinder, if we can say that, of organizations that are want to make an impact in different communities. So that is how it works Beyonder, and now we are open the market in Colombia too. So we are in Australia, in Colombia, and yeah, so we create through the filters a community. It's called Big We Community.
Uh-huh.
It's the alliance between Beyonder Australia, between Sawyer States, from States, and between the We Project, is an NGO here in Colombia, that we provide clean drinking water for vulnerable communities through education and through social entrepreneurship programs with the leaders of that communities. And we are prototyping that in La Guajira.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's pretty amazing, Andrea. Congratulations. I think that's being able to do a collaboration like that with different organizations from different parts of the world and just actually address issues that our community has. I think, yeah, I really like that. So yeah, thank you for sharing this experience with us. And just one last question for people hearing us. What would be the recommendations you would give somebody who wants to go and do a volunteer experience in somewhere in the world? Like, what would be the base ideas that somebody has to have in their mind?
I will say first, use Google and see how the program is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it first from the community perspective, if the activities that you are going to do are good for them and developing a good practices. If you see that something that they say on the program is not good, don't go there. That will be my suggestion, my first suggestion. My second suggestion is like, hey, if you go to that kind of activities, you will find yourself. And probably if you feel sad, if you feel that you don't have purpose of life and you want to do something else meaningful, you definitely need to go to that volunteerism experience. and using the tourism as a way to do it. That will be the second. And the third, be open to know more about it, other cultures. When you go out from your comfort zone and you see that people is not the same like you, you will be more, like, how can I say, more valuable about your life, and also be tolerant that the others have other perspective. But the difference, it doesn't mean that you have to be opposite of them. So this will be my three advice. And yes, if you love traveling, if you are that person who wants to do something with your hands, you definitely need to go to this kind of experience.
Yeah, thank you so much for the recommendations. I guess just the final thought about, because I've been making notes about this interview. I think, yeah, like you said, it's very important to try and understand and know as much as you can about the organization that you're going to be working with, especially like what are the reviews of other people that have traveled there. If the, like you said, if the activities are sort of aligned with the community's needs. There's a great example that happened in this interview was the issue with the toys. Like, do they really need them? Maybe they need to focus more on the water problem, which is basically like the priority. And then just learning a lot about the other culture. And that's something that it's very important. Hence my questions about authenticity and like how did you engage with the community? I think also volunteer tourism opens a bridge for empathy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Towards other people, different cultures, different, because even if it was in your same country, I bet it was very different as well, because maybe they had their own language as well.
Exactly. Yeah, that was that's one what of the challenge, actually, because one community, and they were close to the urban areas, I see, like the principal downtowns, they could speak Spanish. But if you go deeply, well, they are speaking Wajunaiki, that is the language, the dialect that they use in there, in that Waju community. So it was quite difficult, but even though it doesn't matter the language, sometimes you can use your body language. And that was how we like faced that situation. And even now for me, that I'm working with them, it's quite interesting, because now I'm learning the language and learning some words, and they're so important for them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's kind of exchange of culture and experience. And if this happened in my own country,
yeah,
because a few hours from here to there, I cannot imagine if you go to other country.
I think
challenge you will find.
Yeah, I think that was something very valuable, is people tend to go overseas for volunteer experiences. And sometimes it's more important to just look around your local area, or like you in your country, and see, you know, there's a lot of things you can do inside your country. And I think that's very valuable, because then you learn more about your country and the difference within it, instead of, yeah, just going on the other side of the world. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I've done it. It's great. But
yeah.
I definitely, before that, I've been doing a lot of activities in my home country. And I think that's a very important thing.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, I have to go very far away to Australia to realize that I really want to help my country. So it's happening, because sometimes when we have the things so close to us, we cannot see them.
Yes,
but when
completely.
You go away and you miss them, then you will say, oh my God, I might go back. So this is kind of the human being behavior. But yes, it's true. Like, I mean, it's something that in my specific case, went there and now working with them and try to do something that makes them like important, because sometimes we believe that when we go to vulnerable communities, they are just lower than us, like we feel superior than them.
Uh-huh.
And that is not the way that we have to go. We
exactly.
might go thinking that we are equal, that we are the same human being. It doesn't matter the color, doesn't matter the language, doesn't matter the land, we are the same thing. So this is one thing that I will say to someone who wants to travel, is just thinking that you are not better than others. You might be more authentic, as you say, empathic with them. And yeah, ask things and be very careful with your words. than you use it.
Yeah.
Because the language is something that probably you can hurt someone without knowing that.
Exactly. Be a little bit mindful of the differences in culture so you won't disrespect the people, you know?
Exactly. Absolutely. This is one of the key points when I'm trying to talk with the leaders. It's like, oh my God, probably I should first think before talking, because some language they cannot understand and probably take for the wrong way. So yeah, so this is something that I will say to you, Anna, that we might be meaningful and careful for that.
Yeah. And then finally, I think from all experiences I've heard, because this is not the only experience that's going to be interviewed in the podcast, there are many more, especially our collaborators. A lot of them have done experiences and they're very reflective on their experience. I think it's important as well to, I don't know, it would be interesting to for the volunteers to have sort of a brainstorming session at the end of it to just kind of reflect on their experience and about their impact. And yeah, like, I bet most of the experiences changed their views before they came to the experience and then afterwards. So I think that would be very valuable, not only for the volunteers, but also for the organization.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I thought the same. So we, at the end of the program, we did. I was in a very good landscaping, actually, a beautiful beach, the best one, actually. And we did like a kind of circle and we shared our feelings and we cried. Actually, it was something that I want to highlight. Was the oldest of the program of the volunteer was a dad, was a guy from around 50 years old. But then he went with his sons. They were like 20, middle 20s. Uh-huh. And it was awesome because that I saw how they were closer because of the program and sharing different perspectives. Even they were millennials and he was in other perspective, and realized that we had lucky. So it was more our outcomes and insight was more about feelings, like how do you feel there being involved with that community, knowing that they are dying because they don't have water, was something that shocking the life of everyone.
Yeah.
Because we knew that from the news, we knew that from the TV, but when you are close to that reality, it's like, oh my God, how lucky we have. So it was that insight. But I will say that it's very important for this kind of programs, whatever social program it is, even a sustainable program, a traditional program that they might be tracking, how start the program in the time zero until the end of that program.
Yeah.
To know if they are developing, they are improving the quality of life, or, well, they will know what are the factors that they want to measure.
Their goals,
but
yeah.
Things is not implemented yet in Colombia, and I will say now that I'm working with a lot of that programs and things like social entrepreneurs and things like that, they don't think about the importance to measure the impact and how they can even improve their actions through that. So, and also in help them and improve their quality of the community.
Yeah.
And listen and like a really breathing the results as a way to improve the practices.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be very good. It's good for you to go back and just say a lot of the of how to improve. But I guess by beyond there, that's what's it all about.
Exactly.
Andrea, we're going to have to cut this interview because we're running out of time. But thank you so much for having us this evening for you, this morning for us. It was so nice to talk to you and learn about your experience in La Guajira. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope you liked this episode on volunteer tourism. As we said, volunteer tourism is such a complex issue, and we do want to gather different experiences from different people that have done this kind of travel. So if you're eager to collaborate, we would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Make sure that you have our Instagram page. You can find us at thatwonderchick. Or check out other collaborators' pieces on our website, www.impetuhub.com. We want to encourage people to reflect on their travels, so
go ahead and contact us. We would love to hear from you guys. And thank you again to Andrea for sharing her experience with us and for everybody else who made this episode happen. So thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed the episode and don't miss the next one.